9 months ago, first date. Are we doing okay? Ray. My mind was still foggy from the dream I'd had on the plane. The flight had left 2 hours late, and once it was finally in the air, I slowly drifted to sleep. Pictures of Carrie flashing through my mind. Pictures I'd committed to memory. I didn't have to stalk her Facebook page anymore, because every single one of those pictures was fresh in my mind. But as it often did, my sleeping mind drifted off in different directions, directions I rarely wanted to consciously think about. In the dream, I was in a valley pockmarked with small rolling hills, bumps and craters, scrub brush and grass all around. A range of rugged, stark mountains capped with snow loomed over us. Somehow, I already knew. I already knew that within 24 hours my team would be gone. Kowalski and Roberts dead. Dylan medevaced, and me, the only survivor. The guy who was supposed to lead them and keep them alive. The worst I'd gotten was a grazing furrow down my side from a random bullet. Enough to earn a purple heart, I suppose, but not enough to evacuate me from hell. In my dream, time shifted. We were back near the village, and it was a month later. Even though they were dead, Kowalski and Roberts were with me. Dylan was somewhere in the back, and the fucking new guys were nowhere to be seen. Sergeant Colton had stopped beside the road and was screaming at an 11 or 12-year-old boy who was leading his sheep God only knows where. And it didn't really matter, because spit was flying from Colton's lips. Staff Sergeant Martin, our squad leader, said, "Colton, chill. He's just a kid." But Colton started screaming louder, because that morning, Weber got picked off by a sniper, and we'd stuffed him in a bag. They flew him out while we continued the mission. "You fucking threw the grenade, didn't you?" he screamed. "You're the one who killed Kowalski, huh? Huh?" He pointed his rifle at the kid, and then one of the other guys in Hicks's fire team joined in, and now two or three of them were yelling, and I was saying, "What the fuck? He's a kid." Staff Sergeant Martin got right up in Colton's face and shouted, "Sergeant, stop it." And next thing I knew, Colton had his rifle trained on Martin, and shit was completely out of control. I screamed, "Sergeant, don't do it!"
"Whoa, soldier. It's a bad dream, kid. Time to wake up."
My eyes had flown open, and I wasn't anywhere. I was on a plane. The old man who'd sat next to me had his hand on my arm, shaking me. But when my eyes opened, he pulled the hand back quickly.
"Sorry, son. You were having a nasty dream. Had to wake you up."
"Thanks," I had muttered. The old man had tried to get me to talk about it, but I wasn't ready for that. Instead, I opened up the in-flight magazine and sat lazily paging through it as the plane descended into Texas. When I walked out of the security gate at Houston's Bush Intercontinental Airport, my eyes immediately focused in on Carrie. She stood apart from the other people waiting outside the gate, almost as if a space automatically formed around her because of her height or her beauty or maybe just general badassery. This was a lady who handled mountain lions for a living, after all. It was cold, and she wore a plum-colored knit sweater dress over black leggings with high-heeled knee-high boots. A scarf was wrapped around her neck, and she wore a funky gray hat. Everything about her outfit emphasized her long, lean body, the curve of her hips and legs and breasts.